Please stand in body or in spirit. The day of Pentecost has come, and the Holy Spirit has called us all together here in this place.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It is good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all of us, all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We changed our ProPresenter computer, which was in much need of change. It was like 10 years old-ish, and we were starting to struggle with it. And then we also upgraded, I think, to a new version of ProPresenter. We've paid for everything, and yet for some reason it keeps flashing up the, we need to, anyway. We'll figure it out. We paid for everything. It's all good, we will continue on.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Amen.
Church of God.
Let us pray. Mighty God, you breathe life into our bones, and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us Spirit, transform us by your truth, and give us language to proclaim your gospel through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with the new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 104 responsively with me. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great.
There go the ships and Leviathan that you form to sport in it.
These all look to you.
When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and turn to their dust.
When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice.
Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke?
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Let the sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Christ.
When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Something to say? The Spirit has come. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
be to Christ. Please be seated. I have a medal somewhere in my office for Mel for her reading of Acts today. She nailed it. Nice job. Did you practice that last night? Did you listen to it on YouTube? There you go. So I have a question for us today. I mean, do we believe the reading that Mel gave to us today, that reading from Max? When I say believe, I mean really believe it. As in, this alleged chaotic, divided tongues appear as fire resting on each of the disciples. This narrative. Do we really, really actually believe it? I mean, do we really, let's go one step further. Do we really actually believe in the Holy Spirit as God? The Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is allegedly worshipped and glorified, as in the third person of the Trinity, that was in the beginning, is now, and will forever be co-equal with the Trinity, within the Trinity. Do we really put the Holy Spirit with all the power and might of God as one with God the Father and God the Son? Or is the Holy Spirit the sustainer of all life? Just a little bit lower, maybe a bit lower than God the Creator and Jesus the Redeemer. Come on. No? I think we do, but I'll get there. What are we to make of these different backgrounds? We have Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and so on and so forth, and they speak in their native tongues, and they're understood by all. How is that even possible? And would we expect something like this to happen today? I mean, when we speak the same language, English, for most of us, we seem not even to be willing to listen to one another, let alone to hear one another, or, God forbid, open our hearts and minds to understanding another who doesn't look or act or gasp, think like us, right? Immediately, we close those hearts and minds. So foreign languages, we certainly wouldn't be able to understand or hear, would we? So that's why I ask, do we actually really believe in the Holy Spirit? And if we struggle with the Holy Spirit, or if we put the Holy Spirit just a little bit lower, can we really be blamed? We're Lutherans, after all. We're a, by grace we have been saved through faith kind of people. As in, Jesus is our Savior, right? And we are saved because we broke creation, right? There was this good creation that God made, and we broke it through our sin. Through our sin. We destroyed that good creation, and Jesus came to reconcile us back to the Father. So when you have Jesus and God the Creator, and Jesus is reconciling us back to God the Creator, is there even room for the Holy Spirit in this relationship? It's kind of a problem when we cut the Holy Spirit out, isn't there? Just a, first of all, just an itty-bitty little heresy. You're right there, Mike. It's a problem when we cut the Holy Spirit out. And Jesus very clearly today tells us that there is a Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is coming here, and that Jesus is sending to us the Holy Spirit. He says this: when the Advocate comes, Advocate is Holy Spirit. When the Advocate comes, who I, Jesus, will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, the Spirit will testify on my behalf. So, when we fail to think about the Holy Spirit, and we do, when we ignore the Holy Spirit, and we do, when we cut the Spirit out of decision-making, and we do, and when we cut the Holy Spirit out of discernment, and we do, then who exactly is doing the work of testifying on the behalf of Jesus? I know. It's us. It's me. It's you. It's us sinful humans who think that we can convey to the world what Jesus wants. I do it. I've done it. Recently even. And that's a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for God's will not to be done. It's a recipe for our will. But if our will was always to be done, would we need Jesus Christ to reconcile us to the Father in the first place? But it's messier than that, isn't it? Sometimes we're open to the Spirit, aren't we, Mike? Right. We are open to the Spirit, but that doesn't mean we always leave space for the Spirit. And then it gets really, really hard to tell the difference. Who is doing the work? Is it our will or is it God's will? And again, I don't blame us, because I don't think we were ever given the proper words to think about the Spirit. the proper images, the proper metaphors to think about the Spirit, to talk about the Holy Spirit. Consider the Holy Spirit. What images come to mind? A dove. Oh, the peaceful dove. You know, Noah sent a dove out, brought back an olive branch. The peaceful dove. Any other ones? Any other images for the Spirit? Flames. Oh, yeah, but these aren't violent flames, right? These are, you know, oh, come on. Yeah, like this, wimpy, puny flames over these heads, right? But we read this text, and we think, that sounds normal, flames on these people's heads. Why aren't we afraid for them? They have flames on their heads. I want to be very clear about this. If I ever have a flame on my head, put it out, please. I know it's probably not likely. I have no hair. I don't know what's going to burn. But if my head starts on fire, put it out. But when we think of flames, Holy Spirit flames, we don't think of destructive flames. We think of controlled flames, don't we? And I think we pick these images because we're not good about talking about being fearful of God. I know I struggle with fear of God. Fear of God. But haven't we, in these images of dove and cute little head flames, really tamed the Holy Spirit? I mean, there's a hymn. Shouldn't we be standing in awesome wonder at God's power, at the power of the Holy Spirit? And maybe just a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit, right? Just a little afraid. And I mean, listen to the reading from Acts today. When the day of Pentecost has come, they were together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. A violent wind. Could you imagine a violent wind rushing into this place with nowhere to escape? And it blows the windows out of the black. It blows the windows out up there. Filled the entire house where they were sitting. That is a violent wind. And Mark's narrative for Jesus' baptism, it's a little bit different than Luke's narrative. Luke's narrative is nice, and the heavens were open and the Spirit descended like a dove. But Mark's narrative I really like. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart. But he gets the next part wrong. He says that, you know, the Spirit descended like a dove. He still says that. But I would like to offer us something different today to think about the Spirit. So we have these violent rushing winds. We have these torn open heavens. I really think, my dear friends in Christ, that we need to stop thinking of the Holy Spirit only in the form of a dove or cute little flames. We absolutely need a better metaphor for the Spirit. So I dug really hard into the Bible this week. I really looked at the Hebrew and really looked at the Greek, and I found this weird little word for Holy Spirit this week. You want to know what it is? Dragon. That's the confused look I was looking for. I completely lied about that. There is no word in the Bible calling the Spirit dragon. But we are going to consider the Holy Spirit as dragon. Are you with me? You have to be with me right now, because otherwise the rest of this sermon is not going to make sense. Holy Spirit is dragon. First, awesome wonder. Tell you what, if I walk out to the parking lot after church and there's a dragon sitting there, you better believe that I will be filled with awesome wonder and maybe just a little bit of terror at the power of what I know that thing is able to do. We should be in awe of the Holy Spirit. And now, a massive dragon the size of a 747 jumbo jet flapping its giant dragon wings. Do you think that's going to stir up a little bit of air? Do you think there's going to be some violent rushing wind? And fire. Fire from this dragon. Of course, this dragon is going to blow fire. Our awe-inspiring, wind-whipping, dragon, fire-blowing, Holy Spirit dragon. And it's not a fire that sits nicely on top of our heads. Our dragon-shaped Holy Spirit is a destructive Holy Spirit. Sorry, disruptive, maybe sometimes destructive Holy Spirit. See, but not destructive to God's plans, destructive to our plans, right? Because those plans that you have and I have and we have, they're human plans. And at the flap of the dragon's spirit, they're gone. They're torn apart, they're destroyed. And in case you wanted to rebuild those human plans with whatever wood and shattered kindling is left over, you're like, oh, I'm going to glue it back together. Guess what? The Holy Spirit fire dragon is going to burn up that wood, and there is nothing left of that debris. And now in this place of destruction and desolation and nothingness, are we then ready to listen to the Holy Spirit? And in this place, are we ready to turn to God and say, not my will, God, but yours? Now, I'm not saying that this is always how the Spirit works. I think there's a reason the Holy Spirit is shown as dove, right? But I will tell you, I have had this personal experience with the Holy Spirit. But probably because I fought for so long against the plans of the Holy Spirit that there was no other option but complete and total destruction of my well-thought-out plans, my perfect plans. Sean's will needed to be destroyed to make room for God's will. Yes. This is my call story. You've heard some of it before, and more like the story of me running far, far away as fast as I can away from that call. Now, do you think a flying, fire-breathing dragon can catch up with me? You better believe it. Maybe I can just ride it out, I thought. The dragon will certainly give up. Surely my will is more powerful than God's will, isn't it? But no. No relief. No relief. Continued violent rushing wind. Continued pain and anguish. Stop running, Sean, shouted the dragon. And I didn't know the dragon could talk, but the dragon could talk. And there was just more frustration. I was being battered by the Holy Spirit relentlessly until one day I said, fine, enough, I will do this. So, I reached out to Luther Seminary and set up a meeting, and everything was great. The winds, they died down, right? The winds calmed, and they were nice, manageable, 15, 10, 5 miles an hour, manageable. I'm going to spend the next 5 or 6 years in seminary, and I'm going to get my MDiv, and I'm going to keep working my day job, because that's just what I'm going to do. Except there was this dragon in the way. There was this MDivX program. Now with this MDivX program, I could quit my job, I could go to school full time, and I could intern at a church half time. Have you heard of this MDivX program? You might not have heard of it. No, haven't heard of it? I could be done in 2 years, and oh yeah, I was going to get paid for it. And what did I say? No. Nah, not for me. I scoffed. But there was a problem with my scoffing. I had scoffed at the Holy Spirit dragon. I really, really, really made that dragon angry. That dragon, that Holy Spirit dragon, was done with my delay tactics and my hem-hauling around. So the Holy Spirit enlisted someone. My lovely wife, Andrea. Yes, she can sing. You've heard her sing. But guess what? When she gets mad, she breathes fire. When I said, not for me, the angry, fire-breathing Holy Spirit dragon in the form of Andrea said, you all know, what did she say to me? You're an idiot. She said those words to me. And then she just walked right out of the room. So it was like the flap of the wings threw me to the ground. And when she walked out of the room, that was the fire. And it burned all my plants. Away. And my hair. And I'm not sure whether the fire came from her mouth or her eyes, but probably both. But it destroyed whatever was left of my will. Not your will, declared the Holy Spirit. My will be done. And I wish it were always that simple. I wish that we could always look at everything 3 years behind us. I really do. It didn't feel like that at the time. It still felt like confusion. Still felt like frustration. Still felt like I didn't know what was going on. Am I really answering my call? I can guarantee you now, looking back on that day, that I was listening to the call of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in and through that conversation. Those words. But it's hard. We cannot see that clearly right now, today. Can't. What is our call story starting now, today? What are you being called to? I went to a preaching conference this past week, and there was someone who reminded us that a call is, you know, past tense. Calling is present and future tense. I still have a calling. What am I being called to? 3 years from now, I may know. Right now, it's murky, right? What are we, First Lutheran, being called to? What are we, together with St. Paul, being called to? I don't know. It's hard. Last year at this time, we gathered with something that used to be a very good word, a very good phrase. And now, when we utter it, it kind of makes us cringe a little bit. Crawford County Lutheran Partnership, right? We hope to partner with one another and the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we were all just a little too naive walking into that, and I know I was. We invited this Holy Spirit in, the dove. That's the Holy Spirit we invited into those spaces. That's the Holy Spirit we expected to show up. Guess which Holy Spirit showed up? The fire-breathing, giant 747 wing-flapping, wind-whipping dragon. And we were not prepared for that Holy Spirit to show up. I was not prepared for that Holy Spirit to show up. And 6 months later, the partnership found that it could not withstand the power of this Holy Spirit. And we know where we are now, right? But guess what? Guess what? It's oh. It's okay, because all is not lost. The Holy Spirit did not give up on us. The Holy Spirit is still here. The Holy Spirit is still active and moving among us. Even if we might want the Holy Spirit to leave us alone for a little while, please go away. That dragon Holy Spirit is here to stay. The Holy Spirit will not leave us because this is not our church. This is not my church. It's not your church. It's not even our church. This is God's church. And we are only called here to steward it just for a little while. You are all faithful stewards. I know that. Not our will. So are we an all our will kind of people, or a God's will kind of people? And I think we'd be lying to ourselves if we said that there wasn't just a little bit of our will kind of thinking going on, right? Because we are sinful beings, and we will never fully be able to escape our will thinking. Never, ever, ever, ever. But I will say that you listened and you discerned and you allowed for the Holy Spirit to move in and through our conversations. That I wholeheartedly believe. And that's why it's okay. Because if we did it before, we can do it again. And maybe we're doing it right now. Perhaps now, however, we are more prepared for what happens when the dragon Holy Spirit shows up. There will be times, my dear friends in Christ, when the Holy Spirit flaps those dragon wings and breathes that dragon fire, and we will be shaken to our core, to our foundation, and the debris. The debris that we look at and we're like, well, maybe we can rebuild. That dragon will burn it all away. And that's okay too. You know why? Because that's just what Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to do. To reveal to us our firm, immovable, fireproof foundation, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our sure and certain hope in every time of trial. And it is from this place that we ask, who knows what's next? Might divided tongues as a fire appear among us and a tongue rest upon each of us? Might we be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other languages? Some will speak the language of St. Paul Lutheran. Some will speak the language of First Lutheran. And hopefully someday we pray we will hear the language again of our others in that Lutheran partnership that dissolved. That's my prayer. And yet, we will be able to understand the language of each other. But not by our own human ability. We can't by our own human ability. The Spirit stands ready to partner with us as we work to bring God's will into being. To be clear, that does not mean one church. That does not mean what we were talking about before in consolidation conversations. That does not mean any of that, because all of that was also destroyed by human hands, by God's hands. We don't know. And it's okay, because guess what? We stand on a sure and firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Not our will, but God's will be done. Thy will be done, O God. That is our prayer today and each and every time we gather. This is the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we celebrate on this day, the day of Pentecost. And my prayer for us is that is what we celebrate each and every day of our lives. Because the Holy Spirit is part of our triune God, one in being with the Father and the Son. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Go ahead.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in God, the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth,
of all
prayer, I ask if there are any additional prayers of intercession this morning.
Jean Henry.
Daryl Gates.
Noel.
Jane.
My brother Bud.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear and death, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news.
For the church universal and all its ministries, for the churches of the Lutheran Partnership, for Lutheran and St. Paul, First Lutheran and St. Paul, and for the people of First Lutheran and its missions, and that we may partner with you and the Holy Spirit to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth in both the word and deed. Shower your spirit upon the youth of your churches, those who are being confirmed today, and all the newly baptized. Hear our prayer. God in grace.
Hear our prayer.
I got my wife's glasses on, I'm sorry.
For the nations of those who govern, open the hearts and minds of those in authority, that they work for justice, equity, and peace for those who they have been called to serve. Today we continue to plead for peace to reign in Ukraine, in Israel, in Gaza, and in other places where blood is being spilled. Grant to us, all who vote in elections, open minds and discerning hearts, that we may seek your will. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. For the earth, our precious homes, in the beginning, your spirit moved over the waters and brought all that is into being. We give thanks for the diversity of the planet and the animal life of our planet. Empower us by your spirit to be wise and faithful stewardess of all you have made. And be with all farmers and farm workers here in Crawford County, in Ohio, and beyond, who partner with you to feed themselves, their families, and all the people of your creation. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. For those in need around the world, for victims of crimes, for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation, for those who are held captive and incarcerated, for all who suffer in any way, especially the family and friends of Marcella, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony and David, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Sandy, and Bill, Linda, and Wilma. We also lift Jean, we lift Daryl, Jane, and Noel, Bud, and Kenny. We also lift those to you who have been ravaged by storms this week. Please calm your creation and allow us to live at one with it. God of grace.
For this congregation and its ministries, for our worship and music team, and for those who assist in lead worship, for musicians, those who play the piano and organ, those whose voices lead us, and those who make joyful noise to the Lord, for acolytes and communion servers and altar guides, for readers and audio-visual ministers, for all who perform maintenance on, prepare, and clean our worship space. May our worship be pleasing in your sight. Give glory to your name and renew us in mind, body, and spirit. And send us to be the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I ask that you please share a sign of God's peace. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Rise one, you call us to be, believe, and bear fruit. May the gifts that we offer here be signs of your abiding love, from us to be your witness in the world, through Jesus Christ, our true vine.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and every tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and Salome and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Spirit on us in these gifts of bread and of wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence. Reveal to you, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us and send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. And with all your holy ones of all times and of all places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It is the risen Christ who prepares this table and invites us to it. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ is revealed to us in the bread and the wine. Come and eat and drink, where all are always welcome.
Body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Serving God, you have prepared a table before us and nourished us with your love. Send us forth from this banquet to proclaim your goodness and share the abundant mercy of Jesus, our Redeemer and friend. Amen.
Amen.
Few announcements this morning. Want to make note of a few people. One, we have somebody graduating literally today, right? Yes? Yeah? So congratulations to Lucy. And when is Sages? Did she already graduate? Today, all right. So we recognized them a few weeks ago,
And but we continue to pray for Sage and for you, Lucy, as you go through your graduation today. So also, Good Hope Lutheran Church, they are going, that's in Bucyrus, they will be hosting a concert, and they are looking for help hosting these high schoolers and young college-age kids. So if you have a room and are willing to deal with a high schooler or college-age kid, please consider that. I think there's information in your bulletin. You can reach out to Pastor Tansy Addison there. We'll continue Bible studies at St. Paul and North Robinson on Wednesday. And I think you have some announcements or announcement about Safety Day, right?
Yep.
Thank you. And I thought you were saying that you found someone to do phone scams. I don't know. And I also, I said there were two people, but I forgot. So we have Linda Lipley's sister, whose name escapes me at the moment. Jean Blackford is here today, who many of you may know. She's a former member of the church here and, you know, has happily, I guess, commuted to or moved to Florida. So please, yeah, go ahead. Awesome.
And proved that, and so she got
wow.
A long time to go yet. I would ask pray for her to get into the vet school.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And what's her name?
Michaela.
Michaela. So if you didn't hear that, your granddaughter.
My granddaughter.
Your granddaughter. So is, you know, graduated from pre-vet and is looking to get in vet school, so she could certainly use your prayers because getting into vet school is tough. Yeah. So anyway, but yes, please greet Jean. Did I get it right? I'm so bad with names. Jean, after the service, if you're old friends with her. And with that, please stand as in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Jesus sent to us an advocate, the Spirit of truth from the Father.
The Holy Spirit is with you. Rejoice and be glad. Go now and proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.